Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I hope you enjoyed the final weekend of the NFL regular season, but it was actually a double whammy. Saturday, the college football playoff. I think it's a good reason to either stay in and have a college football watch party or meet some friends out and see it on the big screen along with a bunch of other people and all the chaos that comes with watching a game in a public place. But it was ultimately set up for LSU and Clemson in the national championship, which won't take place until January 13th. So typically, in the past anyway, the pattern has been that the national title game was on the Monday following wildcard weekend in the NFL. But it's not that way this year. Instead, it comes up on January 13th. There's an extra week in there to wait. And I don't know that I have an opinion about it one way or another. I think that in some cases, people who've said to me, oh, it's a week in which the momentum and the excitement over college football dies down, I would agree with that. I feel like there's no need to take off 2 weeks, but this is how they chose to do it. Fine. And so instead, we'll wait till the following Monday after the divisional round of the NFL postseason, and it will be LSU and Clemson. And there's a lot of talk about which teams deserve to be in the playoff and whether or not the committee got it right, blah, la, 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 la. Let me just say this. Hindsight is always 20/20, but hindsight is also deceiving. For those of you who say Oklahoma didn't deserve to be in at the number four spot, who else would you have put in there? And how do you know that Georgia, who just had a shot at LSU, wouldn't have fared any better? Alabama also had a shot at LSU. The fact that LSU played so dominantly and had such a fantastic first half, and the fact that the Tigers were ahead of the Sooners 49-14 at the break, doesn't mean they wouldn't have done that to any other opponent. That's the whole thing. The what ifs, we can't analyze and dissect our sports that way, because if you change one thing, it affects the whole picture. Oklahoma deserved to be there. Georgia and Alabama had their chances. Utah had a chance. They didn't take advantage. And I get it, Oklahoma's record in the college football playoff has been dubious. But Jalen Hurts, Lincoln Riley, the rest of the Sooners, they earned their spot, and LSU earned its. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams, and for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We'll get back to your NFL reaction, both the playoff picture and Week 17. Already one coach fired, which we didn't even need to get to Black Monday for it to happen. No sooner had the plane landed in Cleveland than Freddie Kitchens got his pink slip. We're waiting to find out about a couple of other coaching jobs. There usually is a surprise or two.
Whoop-de-hell.
But maybe the coaching carousel won't be quite furiously spinning the way we've seen the past couple of years. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. With the regular season now in the books, how would you describe what we saw from the NFL this season? Of course, the best is yet to come. So back to Saturday in the college football playoff, a record first half for LSU. 49 points. But Joe Burrow with 7 passing touchdowns and 403 yards. That was in one half. He finished with 8 total touchdowns, no passing TDs in the second half, but he did have a rushing touchdown in there as well. And he was actually pulled early in the fourth quarter, which is stunning to me. It's a national semifinal, and you can pull your starting quarterback. your Heisman Trophy winner early in the final quarter of the game. Most touchdowns ever in a bowl game, and the most in a game at any level on any date in SEC history. And if LSU can stay locked in, whoo, that's a tall order for Clemson to slow their roll.
No, we go into every game thinking nobody can stop us, and that's the way we think. We think we need to score every time we touch the ball, and if we don't, then we're still kind of chasing that perfect game. You know, it's always something to get better at, and today was a lot of fun, but still room to improve.
Me being a football fan, I'm kind of a fan. I'm like, hey, go ahead, guys. Way to go, man. It's incredible what this coaching staff has done, what these players have done, the connection that they have with the receivers, the protection on the offensive line. I've been a part of some good football teams, but I've never been a part of an offense like this.
So there are a lot of reasons for joy, but also, in case you hadn't heard or maybe you were following the storyline throughout the day on Saturday, also a day of tragedy and pain and sorrow for the LSU football family. Offensive coordinator Steve Ensminger, he was seen in tears pregame and really emotional, of course, afterwards. He chose to be part of the college football playoff, even though his daughter-in-law died in a plane crash just hours before they kicked off. I knew Carly McCord. First time that she ever called me, she reached out to me and asked me if she could call me and talk to me about being a female in the sports broadcasting business. And she was so excited to talk to me that she kept apologizing for rambling on and talking too much. I didn't mind. She was really smart. She was funny. We connected and shared our similar journeys. She's a lot younger than me, and her path took her into TV. That was where she wanted to go. But I spoke to her back the first time when she was working in Cleveland. She's an LSU grad, a Louisiana native, but her first big-time job was in Cleveland at our affiliate, 92.3 The Fan. And so I know a lot of Cleveland sports fans and sports listeners, sports radio listeners know of Carly, maybe came across Carly at various events. I was a guest on her podcast, and we continued to communicate even after she moved back to Louisiana. And she'd gotten a couple of big breaks. She was the in-game host for the New Orleans Pelicans, did a lot of sideline reporting, was also doing TV and radio, had me on her radio show once she moved back to Louisiana. She got married to the son of LSU's offensive coordinator. And I can only imagine how over the moon excited she was on Saturday morning when she got on that plane. Just a little plane, an 8-seater, and it was full of LSU fans who were traveling to Atlanta for the game. I imagine it was a ride that she was able to catch because of her familiarity with the team and the fact that she was an alum. And she wasn't the only person who died. The names and the ages have all been released now, but there was also a mom and her son who would have turned 16 on Sunday. And maybe many of you have seen the details, the story now. Soon after takeoff, for whatever reason, the plane lost altitude, hit some power lines, burst into flames, and crashed into a post office. Miraculously, one person was pulled from the wreckage alive, and that passenger is in critical condition now, at least the last I heard. That was on Sunday afternoon. Can only imagine the emotions, the pain, the sorrow, just the shock for Coach Ensminger and his family. And so on a day that was supposed to be so full of joy and excitement, LSU's first appearance in the college football playoff, instead, there was this underlying pain and sadness. And I just kept thinking about Carly, too, because she was so proud of her LSU teams. And this would have been such a thrill for her. She wasn't going to work. She was going as a fan. Her husband actually wasn't able to go to the game, so he wasn't on the plane. He was at work when the plane went down. I just looked at her Twitter, and I know some of you are on Instagram. You can look her up on Instagram. But she was working on a story on Friday night. Just, it's incredible how, in the blink of an eye, life can be taken away. Life can change for those people who knew Carly. And she's a really popular reporter and broadcaster. Affected a lot of people in Cleveland and Louisiana, not to mention her family and her friends. But that's how quickly life can change. And I know I've said this before, but even as we come to the end of another year, in fact, the end of a decade in these next couple of days, we always focus on New Year's resolutions and how we can be better and how we can improve. But I think what's most important is the people around us. And it's, unfortunately, comes right back to our attention. Sometimes we forget. We take life for granted. We take our friends and family for granted. But when something like this happens, a tragedy brings it into focus. What matters most? Well, people matter most. Our relationships matter most. And hearing about the death of Carly, it threw me for a loop on Saturday. As much as I was excited about the college football playoff, I really couldn't stop thinking about her and how she must have been so thrilled to get to this game. And then just like that, her family's life changed and she was gone way too soon. And there was a 15-year-old on the plane. And so in 2020, I want to make sure that I don't stress over stuff that doesn't matter, over crap that won't matter at all 24 hours later. I get so wrapped up sometimes and stressed over things that they're insignificant, unimportant. People matter. Relationships matter. Our impact on those around us. That's what matters. And I want to make sure I don't waste opportunities to walk that out in 2020. We'll talk about the other game coming up. It actually was a tough week for broadcasters who knew or followed Don Imus. He also passed away. So a radio icon for sports fans, for just radio junkies like myself. I grew up listening to Don Imus. And then some of you may remember going back, I think it was Christmas Eve, ESPN college football reporter Edward Ashoff also died. He got pneumonia and never recovered. He was 34 years old. So in the broadcast industry, there was a lot of sad news in this past week. But I want to make sure we get back to the football as well. I wanted to make sure I talked about Carly. She was as passionate about her teams and her sports broadcasting career as me, as what you hear from me every night here on the show. And I know a lot of people are missing her and hurting over her painful death, but just to the shock of the whole thing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Lawrence will go shotgun. He'll put ETN to his right-hand side. Two wideouts go left. One comes right. Lawrence keeps it. Wants to run. Now he's going to throw it over the middle to ETN. He's across the 20 at the 15, the 10, the 5. ETN, touchdown. So Clemson will go for two from the three. And off of that right hash. Lawrence takes a shotgun snap. Blitz coming. Lawrence rolls right. Looking back at the end zone. Throws. Higgins there. Caught a touchdown. That was like Dwight Clark. Takes a snap, wants to throw, looks left side, has time, throws, looking for the end zone, it's going to be picked, it's picked!
Yes!
Coming with the pick is Nolan Turner. He had a pick in the semifinals last year and picks this off here.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A much more dramatic game, a much more dramatic finish between the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Clemson Tigers. And for a long time, Ohio State was pitching a shutout. In fact, the Buckeyes were up 16-0 midway through the second quarter. And then the points and the onslaught. And Trevor Lawrence looked more like Trevor Lawrence. And Travis Etienne looked more like the guy who had been so good all year. And Clemson looked more like a defending champ. With all that heart and metal, taking advantage of opportunities, making sure that they gave themselves a chance. Sounds odd, and sometimes I hate that cliche, but the experience and the wisdom of having been in the college football playoff and so many big games the last few years, the veterans they've got, the leadership with Dabo Swinney on down, you could see it. It was impressive. Don Munson with some of those late calls on the Clemson Tigers radio network. ETN catches a touchdown pass. Rumbles 34 yards. And that put the Clemson Tigers in front inside of 2 minutes. But then to take advantage of what was a poor throw by Justin Fields and a miscommunication, looked like somebody got messed up. Somebody ran the wrong route. Somebody went the wrong direction. Somebody screwed up. But a second interception for a guy that didn't throw any all season long was tough for Ohio State. And I know a lot of people were looking at the calls. I say you have a guy who rushes for 174 yards. You have a 16-point lead. You have plenty of opportunities. Clemson played better down the stretch. Clemson took advantage of the opportunities, capitalized on the Buckeyes' mistakes, and ultimately made sure that they weren't going down without a fight. And that's the heart of a champion. That's why Clemson is 14-0. That's why they haven't lost in what feels like forever. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We should listen to Dabo Swinney when he talks about how special this team is, but not just this team. The entire Clemson football era.
I said in 2010, after a 6-win season, I said we're fixing to have the winningest decade in Clemson history. So, that's what I dream big. I mean, I actually we're a little short. I dreamed a little bit bigger. So we missed a couple, but we've had a great run. It's been an unbelievable decade.
Trevor Lawrence, of course, is the star quarterback for Clemson. Not only had 259 yards passing and a couple of touchdowns, but 107 yards rushing and another score. What are you, Lamar Jackson? Amazing the way that they came back. The defense had to hold time and again. Ryan Day, of course, taking over for Urban Meyer. Meyer was nervous as all get out. Like, what's that cliche? I stink at cliches. A cat in a room full of rocking chairs? Is that the cliche? It's like an old, old one that grandparents would say. Anyway, he looked nervous. Standing, then hunched over, hands on knees. But this is now Ryan Day's team, and he has to answer for it.
Those game-altering plays that happen in a game, you know, you need those things to go beat a team like Clemson when you're playing in a semifinal game. You need, you know, that one or two plays to miss a couple of them, then that hurt you.
What is it, Chris? Tell me in my ear. Or no, tell me on the air. Go ahead.
It is that you are as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs.
I was so close. By the way, that Clemson drive that made Urban Meyer so nervous, 94 yards. 94 yards. They didn't look as efficient, as powerful, as masterful as the LSU offense, but the heart and the mettle of a champion. And so you've got Clemson as the 3 seed, quote unquote, against number one LSU coming up January 13th in New Orleans. And, of course, Clemson is looking for its third national title in the last 4 years. 855-212-4227, our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Bill is listening in Virginia. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment on the college football playoffs. And I have no problem with the teams that are there because I think they played well and deserve to be there. But it's just the sequence of the way that they play the playoffs, and I think it should be across the board. One should play three, two should play four. I think you would have had a better first game than you did against LSU. But I don't think anybody's going to beat LSU. I think they got the championship in their back pocket. It's theirs to lose.
Oh, is that the end of what you're saying? I'm sorry.
It is.
I mean,
it's
hard to see them the way they played on Saturday and think, oh, yeah, some other team can beat them. But it's just, it's not, it doesn't always carry over, number one. Number two, we're talking a completely different defense. Big 12 is not known for its defense. We're talking about a Clemson team that's been in every situation, that has faced some of the biggest challenges, stared them down, come out on top. I mean, that kind of wisdom and experience means a lot to me, especially when you're talking about college kids who can get rattled, who can get nervous. I like the leadership. I think that's important. And I'm not saying that Ed Orgeron doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, they have a really incredible offense, the Heisman Trophy winner. Just a lot of times experience can be the great equalizer. And also, they're no slouch. I mean, they find ways to win. It may not be as dramatic, it may not be as epic, but they find ways to win. They do it over and over. We've seen them stare down adversity this season too.
No, I agree with you 100%. I do. But I do think that we're going to have probably the best championship game that's ever been put on TV coming up with those two teams put on the air.
Ever been put on TV. That is quite a bar to set there, Bill. Wowzers. That's a lot of TV that's happened.
I do think it's probably going to be one of the best college football games you're ever going to see.
I mean, Clemson has played in a few of those already, too. So I'm looking forward to it. I think sometimes that, you know, we as sports fans, we take kind of the sample of what we've seen. We take the highlight reels and we try to plug it in. But matchups can make such a difference. The stage can make a difference. And to me, having this much time off could impact it as well.
I think it is quite a bit of time off. I think this is probably the longest spell between playoff games and championship games, isn't it?
I don't know for sure, but I would say certainly in this format it is. I don't know that I hate it. I don't really understand the need for it. It feels like for college football, especially when you're talking about battling and competing against the NFL, even if they don't play on the same days, the fact is the NFL dominates January with all the playoff talk. And I don't know. I just don't want the college football to get lost in there.
I agree. Also, you'd have a happy new year. And
thanks,
it's great talking to you. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bill in Virginia, and a lot of you finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. This is an NFL season that certainly has had some twists and turns, certainly has had some ups and downs. I could say the same about the college football season as well, though we've had some teams at the top that have been powerhouses. Can you say that about the NFL? I mean, think about the NFC right now. Three teams at 13-3. The Niners, Packers, and Saints. And then you've got Seahawks and Vikings, the wild cards, with double-digit wins. The Eagles, as much as they are coming from the soap opera division of the NFL, with that 9-7 record that may look paltry, this is the Eagles. Just like I was talking about, the championship heart and medal, they have faced so much adversity. And it's almost impossible to sink them. I mean, think about their record in closeout games the last 3 years. Or in elimination games, so to speak. Their third straight trip to the postseason. And then, of course, you've got the Ravens. 12 wins in a row, 14-2, best record in the NFL. The Chiefs, who've quietly won six straight. It's crazy, right, that a 12-4 team could fly under the radar. But the Chiefs have. Patriots, the defending champs, also at 12-4. Texans and Bills both have double-digit wins. The Titans have the best running back in the NFL. There's a lot that we can look forward to. And also, teams on the outside looking in that have to deal with the end of their seasons. So we'll talk more about that coming up. 855-212-4227. How would you describe this NFL season? A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Brissett dropped into his own end zone. Looks, scrambles around, looking downfield, runs it, and is hit from behind. The ball comes out. The Jags pick it up. Calais picks it up. He runs it into the end zone for the touchdown and then tosses it into the stands.
Just to kind of give you kind of the week, I think is important to understand the week that, you know, we took to prepare. Obviously for today's game was, you know, we all made sure that we understood and take accountability, obviously, for the season. But what we tried to focus on was all week long with the players of making sure that let's not let the past stuff, okay, dwell during this week. Let us, you know, have an opportunity to know what it feels like, you know, to play at home, to win a game in front of the fans, and to play not for coaches or family or anything else, but play for each other in that room.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Doug Marone says, of course I care about my job. Of course I care about whether or not I am retained as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. His team ends on a high note. Frank Frangie with the call on the Jaguars radio network. I don't know if that was enough to save his job, but I do know it's been nutty. The way the rumor mill has swirled around Jacksonville and its head coach and Doug Marone specifically. There have been conflicting reports now for weeks about whether or not he was being kept on the job, whether or not he had already been fired, whether or not he'd already heard that he'd been fired. Someone actually asked him that on Sunday. What about this report that says you've already been fired? And he bristled at that, which I can understand. Who wouldn't? But ultimately, unless he is a really good actor, we're talking about Oscar-worthy actor, he says he doesn't know. And he hasn't been told one way or another. Same with Jason Garrett. He is optimistic as always. Jerry Jones is disappointed as he has been. I'm sure Garrett is as concerned as Marone. But we don't have any news officially to offer. Just a lot of speculation, just a lot of rumors. Freddie Kitchens, of course, he's gone. The plane was still warm, probably still getting cleaned up after returning to Cleveland from Cincinnati in a season-ending loss. And Kitchens was already informed by the Haslams and GM John Dorsey that he was out of work for now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Baker Mayfield finishes the season with 22 touchdowns, 21 interceptions, a little more than 3,800 yards passing. His completion percentage hovered around 60%. Was not a great year for him. Not a good sophomore campaign. And as much as people want to point to Freddie Kitchens, I get it. The team was undisciplined, unprepared very often. Just the entire attitude and feel around the team, way too loosey-goosey, way too almost out of control. A little bit too much of that living on the edge. This is not a team that's got an established winning culture. You can't play fast and loose with games that are supposed to help you build a foundation, help you build confidence. I don't care what the preseason expectations were, inflated or no. That team and all of them bear responsibility and accountability. That team squandered a chance to, if not make the playoffs, at least build a solid year. A solid, even if it's a basement, a solid, build the basement, build the foundation of future winning teams.
If you don't wear brown and orange, you don't matter.
Yeah. I mean, that goes back to Freddie Kitchen's introductory press conference. And I said at the time, I was surprised that they didn't hire Greg Williams or at least give Greg Williams an interview, because he was the interim head coach at the end of last season when they surged and nearly had a 500 year, challenged for at least a while. And people told me, no, not Greg Williams. It's Freddie Kitchens. He's the one who deserves credit. He's the one that worked with Baker Mayfield. He's the one that guided their rookie QB to set an all-time rookie touchdown mark. He gets the credit. He was calling the plays. But he had never been a head coach on any level. He'd barely been a coordinator. He had a lot of fun phrases. That country, kind of country strong attitude, defiance. Baker Mayfield bought into it. A lot of the team did too. But the defiance, that attitude got them into trouble. You got to build a foundation first. How about check the toad until you have something to be proud of about? Learn how to win. Learn how to be professionals. None of that happened this year. And I had said to you this before, over and over, I'll say it again. If it was only about wins and losses with Kitchens, I think the team would be doing a disservice by making a change again. But it wasn't just about wins and losses. It was about Myles Garrett. It was about Antonio Callaway. It's about reports of players on the field telling their opponents, come get me, come get me. Regardless of the denials, though, that was another distraction. It was about the Pittsburgh started it t-shirt. And I don't mean that that's a fireable offense, just that that's the attitude. How about figure out the football first before you start spreading your business all over the country? They lived like they were already champions. They played and walked and talked like they were already champs. And they didn't earn that yet. And clearly aren't ready for that yet. And so all the personnel issues, the fact that they did not respect their head coach, to me, that is something you can't get back. And it's not fair. Of course, life's not fair. But this is how quickly things can change in pro sports, in the NFL, and of course in real life. But here's what I say. Here's what I believe. Constant change equals constant losing. Constant turnover and transition equals constant losing. And that's where the Browns have been for two decades. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Cleveland looking to hire its 12th head coach since 1999. The seventh under Jimmy and Dee Haslam. Let's talk to Tenru, who's in Alabama. Welcome to After Hours. Good morning.
Yeah, am I on?
You are.
Hey, Amy, nice show. I enjoy and listen to it.
Thank you.
I got a couple questions. I've been an NFL fan, a sports fan, for over, I don't know how many years. I'm a journeyman press operator. I don't know if you know what that is, but my industry is going to the tanks. But do you know what that is?
I'm not sure I quite understood you. A what type of press operator?
A journeyman press operator.
No, I'm not. I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
In other words, I'm a journalist. A journalist. Newspapers.
Oh, newspapers. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Do you think Tom Brady's about done or no?
I don't. I don't. He's certainly not the quarterback he was, but that's just life. But I don't think he's done. I think what he lacks, and this is how it's been for Brady for years now, what he lacks in maybe speed and explosiveness, he makes up for with the brain and the experience. And he makes a living not getting hit. I think that that's pretty much who he's been now for quite a while. It's just that there isn't anything a defense can throw at Tom Brady that he hasn't already seen. And as long as he gets rid of the ball quickly and has receivers he can trust, that offense is still fine. But therein is the issue. How many receivers does he actually trust on that Patriots roster? Julian Edelman, period. I mean, that's kind of it. And so it's been this revolving door. What I just talked about, constant change equals constant losing. Now, they've lost, but their offense hasn't been as good. They've had this revolving door of receivers, trying to make trades, trying to bring guys in. I like N'Keal Harry for sure. He's a rookie, just got healthy, just got out there. But it takes time to build that trust and rapport, and that's been the frustrating part, I think, for Brady. Not to mention, he's made some ill-advised throws. His accuracy has not been nearly as good this year, and I think there's some stress associated, maybe some pressing. It's funny to think about Tom Brady as a six-time champion worried about pressing and making the right throws. But there have been times when it looks to me like he was trying to do too much it's not just been him, but the offense has been out of sync for a good portion of the season.
Right. Well, I'm a dedicated Auburn Tiger fan. I'm a dedicated Dallas Cowboy fan. I'm a dedicated Washington Capitals, Boston Celtics, Atlanta Braves. My question, do you think that Burrow will be a great NFL quarterback?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if he'll be great. I certainly know that he's got the tools, and I like the fact that he's played through his college season and that he's got some experience. He's got a few years on him, that he's now getting a chance to play in college football's biggest stage. There's no such thing as a sure thing coming out of college. It's not. We should know by now. You can't pick one guy and say that is going to be a definite star at the next level. I mean, he can have all the tools. He could get injured, or he could end up with the wrong team. There's a lot of different ways things can go once you get to the next level. It's a completely different game. But I do think that he's set up well, and I do think that considering the Heisman season and what he's done on the national stage, that there will be multiple teams that are interested in bringing him on board, maybe even trying to trade with the Bengals for that overall number one pick. But in terms of a sure bet or a sure thing, that just doesn't exist in sports, not even with the college draft. I appreciate your phone call, Tenru. I have to let you go because we're at the top of the hour here. But thanks so much for listening, and thanks for joining us from Alabama. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line always. And you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, asking you, how would you describe this 2019 NFL season? Because it's done. It's done. Johnny says on Twitter, I would characterize the season as a changing of the guard. I like that. Whether it's quarterbacks, whether it's the fresh blood in the playoffs, five teams in the postseason that weren't in the postseason last year, changing of the guard. It's a lot of young youth making headlines. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.